Good morning. Good morning. I guess that was a question mark. Good morning? Is it a good morning? It is a good morning, yes. We're glad to be here this morning in God's house, ready and excited for what He has for us in His Word. Thanks for being here, visitors. We're glad that you are here, too. Feel free to fill out a blue card that you find in your pew if that's something you'd like to do as a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for during the service, you can fill out a yellow card and hand those off to the ushers when they come around a little bit later, and then they can hand it off to me, and then we can get those prayer requests prayed for as well here later in the service. We have a few announcements that I want to share with you, and I don't want to spend too much time with it in general here. I would just direct your attention to our insert, and you can see some of the things that are going on. Stick around after the service for coffee and cookies and fellowship as well, and then later this afternoon, come back at 5 o'clock, and the youth are serving a dinner, and then there's a game night, and it's just kind of a family game night. It's a lot of fun. I heard something about turtle races, and so it's going to be a great time. I would invite you all to come back, regardless of age or family size or anything. This is an opportunity just to come into fellowship. I love what we do here on Sunday mornings, and this is definitely the most important part of what we do as a congregation. But it's important to spend time just fellowshipping with one another as well. And so later this afternoon, 5 o'clock, that's an opportunity for us to do that. So come out for that. There is a sign-up sheet out in the hallway on a table there, and that's just to give the youth committee an idea of how many to expect when it comes to cooking the food that they'll be getting ready here this afternoon. So it's not too late to sign up, to put your name on that. Even if you forget to sign up and then 5 o'clock rolls around and you still want to come, just come, and that's fine too. And so hope to see many of you out for that here fun time of fellowship. It is a fundraiser. It's a support also for our youth group as they are making plans to head out to the Fly Convention in Colorado later this summer. I should know this. Youth committee or youth people, help me out. Do we have, I think it's like 13 or 14 students going? Is that accurate or general? 11, okay, 11 students, and then a number of adults also. And so keep them in prayer, too, as they make these preparations to go and to spend that. It's just a wonderful week out in the Rocky Mountains. There is, you can see our schedule is starting to pare down now as we are heading into summer. It's hard to believe that Memorial Day weekend is already next weekend. That means that today was the last day of Sunday school, and there's a thank you note in here from the Christian Education Committee to all the Sunday school teachers, and I want to just acknowledge them here too from up here, and we're so thankful to all the teachers and to the Christian Education Committee and all those who have been working so hard these last months with our kids. What an important and wonderful ministry that is to be serving our children, and so thank you to all of you who have had a part in that these last months. The Christian Education Committee is always looking for more helpers and more teachers. How are we doing? Somebody can maybe give me a quick thumbs up or thumbs down. Do we have teachers for next fall, or do we need more? Nobody knows. Okay, I know they're around here, but anyway, we usually need more. Do we need more teachers? A little bit more. If you're interested in helping with Sunday school next fall, talk to one of the Christian Education Committee members. If you don't know who they are, you can come find me, and I can point you in the direction there as well. But again, just thank you for all of that. There is, too, an opportunity to serve. We are doing a new nursery schedule. What a wonderful opportunity that is to serve our young families. And so if you are interested in working in the nursery, I'm told it's not hard, but I can't sign up. And so I would encourage others of you to do that if you are able, or I can sign up and one of you can come up here. We could do that too, maybe. But talk to our secretary, talk to Rachel if you're willing to get put on that list to join that rotation. It's not every month, it's one Sunday, usually I think every 4, 5, 6 Sundays, something like that is how it goes. Okay, a couple other things real quick here too. Pray for the Coronin family. I just saw a few Coronins coming in, or dolls, but I didn't see the baby yet. But the baby was born. Elika and Terry had a beautiful baby boy, and I haven't heard quite a name yet because he came early, and so they weren't quite ready for it yet. And so they're still trying to figure out are rejoicing in the safe and healthy arrival of baby boy Cornyn, and thankful to God for his wonderful gift of life there. So pray for him and for Terry and Elika too as they begin this new part of their lives together. And then I want to mention too also as the council has directed me. We had a council meeting on Wednesday, and the last couple of council meetings have frankly gone a little bit long. You can pray for them in that, by the way. And sometimes it's my fault because I start rambling, if you can believe that. The council meetings have been kind of long because we're talking about some dynamics that are in our congregation, particularly when it comes to growing numbers and all that kind of stuff, which we're so thankful for. It's exciting to see God's word at work, and we're going to actually talk. I'm going to talk more about that in the sermon in a little bit. But we wanted to just let you know that we as a council are wrestling with some of those questions. What do we do when we're out of space here? And that's a really, really, really good problem to have. But we want to invite you and welcome you all to be joining us in this task. And particularly, first of all, to be praying. We need to be praying about this. And I kind of think it's just never a good idea to make a big decision without praying about it first, right? And so let's collectively be praying about it together as a congregation and what God might have in store for us. There's lots of questions. We don't have any answers or anything like that for you right now, so we just want you to pray. Do we go to two services? There's been some talk at some point about planting a church somewhere else here in town. There's been talk about changing the existing structure. I even had one person say about buying a new building, okay? I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but that's I say that to you because those are big questions, and so we want everyone to be praying about that. So please pray. If you have questions, if you want to talk, if you have ideas and opinions, the council desperately wants to hear them. They are your representatives, and so I would really strongly encourage you to take advantage of that and talk to them. Find a council member and let them know what you think about some of these things, and they're going to be asking. Some of them have already been doing that, just where are we at on this and so forth. And so I hope that makes sense. Like I said, please be in prayer as we talk about some of these big questions and that God would lead our congregation and praise him too. And that's, again, going to be kind of a theme of the message this morning. But there's lots to praise God for and to thank him for as well. Okay, any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then I am going to call on three very special people. We have three graduates, high school graduates in our midst, and so I'm going to call on them to come up and join me here at this time. On behalf of St. Paul's, we want to give you a gift, and this is a card. There is a gift. If you can believe it, I found out this week that Amazon's two-day Prime delivery doesn't always work. And so you have a book, a devotional coming. It's really important to us. First of all, we love you guys, and we're so excited for this transition, this new chapter in life that's coming for you. And you're going to be getting a devotional, and it's because we want you to stay in God's word when you leave. And we want you to come back. We don't want you to be strangers. We want you to know that we love you, that we still consider you a part of our family, and we're so thankful to have you here. That make sense? Okay, good. And we want to pray for you too, and pray that God will continue to lead you and guide you as you enter adulthood and a new, like I said, a new stage, a new chapter in life. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for these three young men and women. I thank you, God, for the way that you have raised them to know and to fear and to love you. And I pray, oh God, that you would continue to grow them. I pray that they would keep their noses, not just in their books as they continue on to study wherever they do, but that they would keep their nose in the book, in your word. And God, that you would use your word to continue to grow them and shape them and mold them as they keep through this walk in life and progress to ultimately to heaven itself. And so so I pray that you would bless them as they finish their high school careers now. I pray that you would watch over, protect, and keep them safe, Lord. I pray that you would bless them as they enjoy times of graduation and open houses and all these kinds of fun activities that go along with this season in life. And so thank you so much for them and for their families. Bless them, we ask. Thank you, God, for all you do for us. We praise you today, and we love you. Amen. Amen. Thanks. You guys can go sit down. I should mention their names, too. Rayanne Olson, Dawson Strum, and Jonathan Tweet. And so if you get a chance after the service, if you see them, congratulate them and thank them, too. They all have had a part in our worship service and so forth. I was talking about the nursery, and Rayanne's been involved in that. And Dawson and John are usually upstairs doing the slides for us. And so they've been very integral, wonderful parts of our church family. We're going to miss them, but we will love to have them back when we can. I think that's it. So at this time, I'm going to call us to worship. And our call to worship this morning comes from John chapter 4. It says, "An hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy."
So tender is calling us home. We welcome the weakest, the violent, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than life was the cost. When he stood near the dead, we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, you stronger than darkness, you and
be seated. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'"
I was blind, but now I can see.
one of the pictures that I appreciate most about Jesus as the light of the world is looking at that in contrast to the dark places that you and I know in this world too, and the places where maybe we have struggled and suffered in life. And there is no, the Bible says, Scripture teaches us, there is no dark corner in this world that the light of Christ does not pierce through. And this time in the worship service is devoted now to recognizing that, acknowledging that there are dark places, that sin is a dark place, and that we are guilty of it, that we need the light of the light of Jesus, the light of the world, to come into our lives. And so I would invite you to take part in this time now as we confess our sins together. You'll find the confession of sins printed in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things, or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you, and look to you in faith for your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace, and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Reading from John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It is my joy and privilege to declare to you today that in Jesus, looking to him in faith, trusting in him, that we find forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness of sins was won for you on the cross of Calvary, the day that Jesus died, and the victory over sin was won when he rose from the grave, and the beautiful light of Christ pierced even through the darkest of places, the grave and death itself. He won victory over death for you. Isn't that good news? That is good news for us. We thank him and we praise him for the forgiveness that is ours by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time I'll call on Mark Sletton to read our scripture.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is found in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Please rise for reading God's word. Revelation chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Our gospel lesson is found in John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. John 13, beginning with verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I have said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the reading.
Let's join together now, confessing our faith. It's the same faith that we confess, that Christians all around the world today are confessing, and Christians all through history have confessed that they believe too. This is the Apostles' Creed. Let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This time we'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Thank you, God, for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways that you so richly, abundantly provide for us. We are so grateful to you for all that you do, God. We are especially grateful to you for the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. God, may that ever be on our minds and our hearts, on our and the forefront of our minds as we live this life, as we walk through it together, God, to see you and to see you as the light of the world. So bless the rest of our service now. Help us to be faithful stewards and caretakers of all that you give us. In your name I pray, amen. Before the message, let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 309, Christ for the World We Sing, number 309. In this season here of Easter, we are still, if you can believe it, in the Easter season. Between Easter and Pentecost, it is tradition typically to have us read through the book of Acts in the church, and so that's one reason we are studying the book of Acts here in these weeks, and we're preaching on the selected texts for those weeks from the book of Acts. And today we find ourselves in chapter 13. We were there last week also in the first. In the first part of the chapter, now we look towards the end of the chapter, and all under this theme that we are working with this year in this season of reclaiming evangelical, and that word that is used so often nowadays that has some vague meaning and does kind of hard to pin down and so forth, what people mean when they say that. It means good news, and we've looked at that good news for us. That was a couple weeks ago, and last week, good news for our congregation, and now this week, this is good news for our city. And so I would invite you to stand with me as I read these verses. Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of the district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. These are your words, Father in heaven. May you sanctify them, set them apart in our hearts as truth, because your word is true, and I'm so grateful to you for that. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth now, and the meditations, and the thoughts of our hearts gathered this morning would be pleasing and acceptable to you. O God, our rock, our redeemer. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. One pastor, in writing about this text, said that the gospel always creates trouble. kind of a provocative statement. What he meant was that when the gospel is proclaimed, it will be volatile for different reasons. And we're talking about the gospel in what we would call the wide sense. So all that the Word of God declares, including the law. One of our former pastors here at St. Paul's and a seminary professor of mine used to talk about how the Word is always at work in us. We're growing or we're hardening our hearts. The Christian faith is not static. Okay, it's not a badge you win and then you just remain there. And I'm not talking about salvation because that is a one-time act that is accomplished by Christ on the cross. But our lives as Christians, they're dynamic because the Word is always working on us. And sometimes, as God is shaping us and molding us through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the Word, sometimes it's not very comfortable. And so that's kind of why he says the gospel can create trouble. The Word of God can make us uncomfortable sometimes. It's like you've got this small, quiet, placid pool, a pond maybe in your backyard, the perfect picture of peace that you can look out. And then that little mischievous 8-year-old neighbor with freckles and a missing tooth comes along and finds the biggest rock that he can carry and dumps it into that peaceful and serene pool, creating a bunch of ripples. Now keep that picture in your mind and consider this with me. People develop philosophies in life. Just say, for example, you're not a Christian. You've got to find some rational reason for living. Some people don't, and those are people who are always struggling and always searching and struggling through life, never finding peace. But most people build some kind of philosophy. I live for my kids, okay? That's a popular one. Or I live for my job, or I live to enjoy whatever it is in this life that you enjoy. And people tend to make those philosophies comfortable. If you're going to build your own philosophy in life, you'd want to make it a nice place to live, right? So you build your own rules and standards and ideas, and you've got a nice thing going, and it's maybe taken 20 years to get comfortable with who you are in life. And then something totally unexpected happens. Oftentimes it's tragic, where whatever it was that you built your life on lets you down, or it's taken away. Or if you're not a Christian, if you've built your own religion, and someone comes in and says, you're on your way to hell. And the only hope for salvation is found by faith in the work of Christ for you. Those are the kinds of things that can make a few ripples in your quiet little pond. The Jews in Acts 13 confuse me. I don't know, maybe they shouldn't. They frustrate me. Last week, we were in the first part of the chapter when Paul went to the synagogue in Antioch and preached the good news to the Jews there. We didn't look at this verse last week, but in verse 42, Paul finishes speaking in the synagogue, and the people begged him to come back the next Sabbath. They hungered for this good news. It says in verse 43 that many followed Paul and Barnabas, who urged them to continue in the grace of God. That's wonderful. And the next Sabbath comes around, verse 44 now in our text, and almost the whole city, imagine this, almost the whole city has come now and gathered to hear this word of the Lord. It's exciting. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. What happened? Something changed. Something rippled their pond. Today we're talking about how this good news is for our city. It's for us, it's for our congregation, and now it's also for our city. Evangelicals and evangelical churches bring good news to their city. That's exciting. But it's not always easy for a variety of reasons. Some of those reasons are unavoidable that make it a challenge. Some of those reasons that make it hard are, frankly, self-inflicted. We're going to look at what happened here and how Paul and Barnabas reacted, and then what that means for us as a congregation in this city. So what changed? That's the question. The attitude of the Jews did a very abrupt 180, and it happened when the whole city showed up. When the non-Jews showed up is what caused it. You mean this good news message that we heard last week and that we've heard all week? This good news message is for the Gentiles too? They're not supposed to be here. This can't be for them too. The Jewish people have a long history of being discriminated against, right? We know that. But in this case, they were the ones that were doing the discriminating. They were filled with jealousy, it says. Jealousy is a very inward-looking, selfish attitude, right? We want the best for us. We get agitated and angry when someone else is blessed. Think about that. When you've been jealous, it's a very self-seeking attitude, isn't it? In our catechism, when we teach on the 9th and 10th commandments that deal with coveting, okay, that's being jealous, the catechism asks, what does God require of us in these commandments? And the answer is that we, listen to this, we must heartily wish our neighbor all good and rejoice in their success. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Jealousy is what happens in our hearts when our hearts are turned inward on themselves and we care more about our own well-being and success than that of our neighbor. And racism, discrimination, that's a form of that. We are superior. We are deserving. You aren't. You don't measure up. You're not like us, and so this isn't for you. You following me on that? Okay. The reaction of the Jews is so sad here. The city is coming to hear the good news. Think about that. The city is coming to hear the good news. And the Jews don't like it. And so they start contradicting Paul, it says, working against him and the message that he was bringing. You know, racism isn't probably quite as big a deal in this country as it used to be. Although there's an argument to be made that it's still here, maybe more than we think it is or care to admit that it is. But let's zoom out, okay? And just talk about general discrimination. Lines can be drawn between different social and economic classes. Money can be a terrible source of discrimination. Even within a church, people who give more and know that they give more can develop a sense of entitlement. We're going to do what I want here because I give more. Yuck. Another one. I've been a member of St. Paul's for 30 or 40 years, so my opinion counts more than John Smith, who joined a year ago. That's discrimination. It's selfish. You want to know one that a lot of us struggle with? Probably myself included. Aphobus discrimination, okay? And we can joke about that, but it's actually can be serious. Aphobus is our denomination's two-year Bible college. And great friendships are made there, but there's this natural tendency, for example, if you're in a church with a lot of Aphobus graduates, to gravitate towards one another at the expense of so many others around you so that those who didn't go to Aphobus feel left out. We don't mean to do it, but we choose the easy, comfortable conversation, the one that serves us best. It's selfish. You can make that argument for any kind of clique. Discrimination in the name of tradition can happen. We're going to make a decision because it's what we like and it's what we're used to and it's what we've always done, rather than this other option that may better promote the spread of the gospel. It's all selfishness, pride, jealousy. It's this inverted attitude that this is for us and not for these outsiders. It's been said, and it's true, that ingrown churches die a slow death. I've been guilty myself of pride and selfishness, and I don't think you'd have to look very hard to find times when you've transgressed too. Forgive us, Lord, when we selfishly stifle your word, when we contradict it in the name of what benefits us. In verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly. It was necessary to speak first to you, but you are thrusting it aside and in so doing condemn yourselves. You see, what we have here, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, what we have here is good news. And the Jews, they acknowledged that in the first part of the chapter. They wanted to hear more. But they refused to let the good news change them. But friends, God's word, it goes to work, like I said right away. It creates faith and life. It sustains and grows our faith and our love for one another. And if you don't like that, if you reject that, you're missing the fundamental message of the good news, that Christ died once for all. So that there is no more, Paul writes, Jew or Gentile. Skin color makes no difference. Millionaire or poor, old or young, male or female, all who are in Christ Jesus are one. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and all those in Christ are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You want a philosophy to live by? How about this? Jesus died for you, and in his immeasurable grace has forgiven you and freed you and appointed you to eternal life. That's verse 48. And that message is for you. Jesus died for you. And in his immeasurable grace, he has forgiven you and freed you and appointed you to eternal life. That message is for you. Praise God. It is for our congregation. We rejoice in that every single week. And friends, it's for our city too. Our city needs that message. Paul says, we're turning to the Gentiles here as God has led us because this message of salvation is to be brought to the ends of the earth. And it says the Gentiles there rejoiced. They glorified the word of the Lord, the good news. And that good news spread, it says, to the whole region. Because that's what it does. It does work. It is at work always. Where are we at as a congregation on this? And I honestly don't mean to imply anything by that. I just think it's a good question to ask, right? But frankly, I think it's also a good question to ask as we talk about the different dynamics of a growing congregation, like what I mentioned earlier. I can tell you that any negative feelings toward growth in the congregation probably isn't very healthy, okay? Like when the whole city shows up and the Jews get jealous, okay? Growth is good, right? For the right reasons, and I pray that's the case here. The word of the Lord is spreading, and it's doing good work. And we praise God for that. That's what we pray for, and when it happens, we rejoice, and we thank him for that. And even if it ends up causing ripples in our pond, that's probably a good thing too, right? We want more people. We want as many people as we can to hear this good news because it's of eternal value. And I believe this city of Fargo and Moorhead and West Fargo, I believe this city hungers for the gospel. The evangelical message of good news. This city is filled with people of different faiths or no faith, struggling through life. We are surrounded every day by people hungry for the bread of life. Some of them know it, some of them don't. We have it here for them. I don't know the answer to some of the questions that I brought up in the announcements time. We've got a while. It's summer. Attendance is going to go down, but don't let it go down too far. I still want to see you here this summer, okay? I don't know all the answers to what God has in mind for us. I'm really glad it's not my job to have those answers. But I know the answer is not to put a no vacancy sign out in the yard. The refuge and safety of this gospel message is too good to turn people away. The answer is not to tell hungry people that they can't have our bread. Because God's word makes it very clear that the bread of life, this salvation, this Savior, is to be brought to the ends of the earth. And that includes this city. I read an article recently that contrasted churches on the defense and churches on the offense. It's an interesting visual, and it's maybe not super helpful in some areas, but I think it is helpful in others. In the words of Paul in Philippians 3, he mentions it a few times, we do press on, right? You remember that? We press on, he says in Philippians 3 a couple times. So do we press on or do we just stand pat, fighting against every enemy, perceived or real, that might come against us? Paul and Barnabas, by the way, pressed on in our text. The Jews took them and persecuted them, probably beat them, and drove them out. There's a reference later where it says that Paul was beaten with a rod three different times, and scholars think that this was probably one of those times. But it says that they shook the dust off their feet. They didn't let the dust of the Jews' rejection weigh them down, and they pressed on to another city, filled with joy, it says. So anyway, this article was making the point that churches on the defense allow their traditions, for example, to hold them back, but churches on offense use their traditions as a foundation to build on. Does that make sense? He said, churches on defense are, listen to this, churches on defense are willing to compromise their core values for expediency or convenience. I pray that never happens here. Churches on offense are willing to change. Churches on offense are willing to change anything except those core values. Because the mission is what matters. God's word is at work. Isn't that great news? But just so you know, as long as this church is proclaiming God's word, good news, as long as we are an evangelical good news preaching church, we aren't going to stay the same because God's word is working. And I'm not even just talking about numbers, okay? It's that way in our spiritual lives too. God's word was at work with the Jews in Antioch, but their inward-looking hearts led them in selfishness and pride to reject that good news. And that ultimately leads to a slow and sad death. But I thank God. I thank God for these Gentiles, and I thank God for Paul and Barnabas, and I thank God for his word, this good news. I praise God for the work that this good news is doing in our congregation and in our city. It's exciting. And I pray that continues, and I pray that God leads us in his word wherever he would have us go, whatever he would have us do. Amen. Let's sing praise, shall we? Victory in Jesus. It's hymn number 542. Let's stand as we close this morning, singing this hymn together. Victory in Jesus. You sought us, you bought us with your redeeming blood. You have given us the victory, and for that we sing praises to you this morning and each day. Thank you, God, for the good news of the gospel that talks of our salvation, that literally brings forgiveness and cleansing to us. Forgive us, God, when we sin. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to cling evermore each and every day to the promises that you give us in your word, namely the promise of salvation and an eternal life, as the song saying, in heaven someday. We look forward to that day, Lord. I pray that you would bring it quickly. What a wonderful day that will be, the day that never ends. God, in the meantime, for each day that you have us here, I pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us, continue to be at work in our hearts and lives. I pray that for our high school graduates. I pray that for our children now as we finish Sunday school. God, thank you for the teachers and all those who had a part in that. But I pray, God, that even in this summer break, that you would be continuing to teach our children your word. Help our parents in that task as well, Lord. I pray for our high school graduates. Thank you for Dawson and for John and Rayanne. I pray, God, that you would that you would bless them in this time of transition. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would watch over them and lead them and guide them and direct them. Lord, we are grateful to you for the work that you are doing in our congregation. We praise you for the work that your word is doing in our hearts and lives. God, we pray that that would continue. We don't always know what that looks like, but I pray that you would lead us and help us to know what you would have us to be doing, where you would have us to go. God, I pray for wisdom for our leadership that way. I pray for wisdom as we gather as congregation members and friends of this church to simply pray. Guide us in that. God, it is our heart's desire to follow your will. And so may your will be done. May your will be done each and every day in our hearts and lives. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for, think of Thomas and Casey who were married here yesterday. I'm grateful to you for them and for the gift of marriage. I'm thankful for the gift of new life and little baby boy Cornyn. I pray that you would bless him and his mom and dad as they begin this new stage of life together. God, we pray that you would bless our week now until we meet again. Hear us as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.